Yes.
Okay, we move on with the next talk. It's Martin, all yours. Thank you.
Good. Hello, everyone. Happy to be here. Happy to see a packed room. Well, that's impressive. I thought for today I'm going to talk a little bit about two very popular API technologies and try to bridge them, both of them. So my name is Martin. I love bikes and bananas. And I do love GraphQL. So a small disclaimer here, I'm pretty new to the open API world, but this is an exercise like what's happening when someone that does a lot of GraphQL tries to look into open API. So hopefully that can bring some interesting discussions. And if I'm saying something stupid, please let me know. I'm working at Apollo on this project called Apollo Kotlin, which is a GraphQL client for Kotlin. What Apollo Kotlin is doing is it takes a GraphQL schema, it takes an operation, so a query, process everything all together, and generate Kotlin. So Kotlin is a high-level general purpose language, mostly used on Android, but you can use it everywhere, like iOS, backend, lots of places. And it's all type safe, so you have your GraphQL server, and you can be guaranteed that your query is going to run all the way from your backend to your frontend without any bugs, at least in theory. It's a very low-level library, so in order to showcase it and to showcase, like, to make people use more GraphQL, my web colleagues did this cool stuff. It's a demo using the Spotify API. So it showcases all the Apollo products and GraphQL in general, like Federation, Router, and all this kind of fun stuff. And it uses Spotify, which is something that we all know. Like, we all know what a playlist is. We all know what a track is. So it's a cool model to use. And Spotify has a very cool REST API. It's very well documented, and it even has an open API schema on the right here. Following the previous presentation, I run it in RateMy API, and it's good. It's a good REST API. The only problem is it's not a GraphQL API, and for my needs, I need a GraphQL API. So I was like, what if I could take this open API schema, process it automatically, turn it into a GraphQL schema and API, and then do the same thing with Apollo Kotlin, because at the end I want to have fun with Apollo Kotlin. And so I would have a full end-to-end, like from REST to GraphQL to my client, my Android app. So this is, like, again, it's very small, but we are going to look at some portion, one after the others. Lorna talked about it. I hope you know about OpenAPI. It can come in both YAML and JSON, like this is a YAML version. And what I'm suggesting is that we take this, like, OpenAPI schema here and we turn it into a GraphQL API. So that's our goal for today. If we take the first line, this is the info that Lorna was talking about earlier today. That tells a bunch of information about your schema, like the OpenAPI version, the version of the Spotify API itself, 1.0.0. By the way, it's not using the latest version of the spec, so if someone works at Spotify here, probably time to update, I guess. There's a title and a bunch of URLs. Here there is only one, but this is where you can make your API calls. Well, in GraphQL, like, it's a lot more easier because we don't have such metadata. Like, the whole spec isn't really versioned. It's always backward compatible, and feature discovery is another story, but you can get most of the feature discovery using something called introspection, where you go to your URL and you get the schema out of it. There's no version for the schema, for the Spotify schema either, because GraphQL uses a more fluid philosophy of using deprecation. So if a field, well, you evolve your schema through deprecation. You first deprecate a field, and once it's not used anymore, you remove it, and you add new fields when you need new features. What else? No URL in GraphQL, because you have one single URL. It's your main GraphQL URL. It's your main endpoint. And this is where you also get your schema from, so it would be a bit redundant to add it also in the schema, like it would duplicate information. So in GraphQL, you have this schema and a root query type where we are going to add some stuff. Now, the interesting stuff, like how you get your data. In OpenAPI, you have a list of paths, which are really routes where you get your data from. This is an example of using a playlist, if you want to get a playlist. So if I go there, it's a get operation. The schema author was very nice to include an operation ID. This is going to be important. We'll see that in 2 minutes. And you have parameters, ID, it's in the path, and it's completely typed, so there's a string here. And you get back a response, which is a JSON, and which contains a composite object type containing a playlist. So far, so good. So the way you would do this in GraphQL is you would take every path, and you can turn this into what we call a root field. So in that case, I took my root query object here, and I have a root field called getPlaylist here. This is where operation ID is important, because if I didn't have that, I wouldn't really be able to find a good name for my root field. I would have to guess from the path, or like, I don't know, do some machine learning, whatnot. But the operation ID gives me something user-friendly. There are input parameters, same thing. I have strings. So the type system is really, really similar. Like it's really easy to map from JSON schema and OpenAPI types to the GraphQL ones. And it returns a get playlist object, which is, again, I don't have a good name for it, so I decided to... Is there something stupid on the slide? Maybe? No? All good. You tell me if I say something stupid about OpenAPI. So for the output type, it's I reuse the same name as the field here, because I don't have anything else. So it's a get playlist, so it returns a get playlist. Why not? And then we are going to put some more fields inside. So if we go inside the playlist object, we have a bunch of properties. Same thing, by the way, I did not mention, but even the descriptions map really well. Like here you have an OpenAPI description, and you have the same thing in GraphQL on the right. So it allows you to generate documentation very easily and have the same documentation in both worlds. What else? No, that's it. It's really easy for simple scalar fields. You can have arrays. So if you have a list of tracks in your playlist here with a bunch of items, which are tracks. In GraphQL, this is done using lists. So with these square brackets here, those are lists. And same thing here. Always naming is important. Is complicated, right? Like in software engineering, it's always the same problems. So for naming my object, my composite object, I used getPlaylistTrack, so using the enclosing object and then the field. So that's it. We have our nice schema. We can take things even a little bit further, because both GraphQL and OpenAPI support nullability. So if you had information about nullability in your OpenAPI schema, it will be included in your GraphQL schema. So in the left, you can see you have two keywords actually. You have required and nullable. For the most part, GraphQL doesn't really have a concept of required field, like all the output fields are required. So if you are a schema designer doing open API, I recommend you always mark all your fields required, which Spotify didn't do, but they still always send the field. So I just went ahead and assumed that they were always there. And that's it. There's one thing that is still a little bit strange, is that you know, I still have this get playlist and get playlist track, like my track object is still nested into very deep into my root path, my root endpoint. And this is weird, right? If I want to reuse my track somewhere else, like just getting a track, how do I do that? And in OpenAPI, there's a cool stuff which is called components, which allow you to do exactly that. So you can do it with responses, with parameters, with schemas, so composite types. Yeah, there's two versions of schema, like you have the JSON schema and the main big schema, but I will talk about composite type, it's easier. And so if I take back my schema here, I can just flatten it by using component. So beware. Whoop. Now it's flattened. Yeah, I know it's a bit small. But what's that doing? It's basically referencing. It's basically a reference. It uses this $ref syntax. And now I can use these names. And it also gives me also good names, because these names here, they are defined manually, so they are manually picked, so they make a lot more sense than something that would have to be machine interpreted and machine generated. Anyway, so we're all good. Oh, I forgot that. Once we have components, we can use, we can do cool stuff with reusable components like polymorphism. In GraphQL, you have interfaces. In OpenAPI, you can do that with Olof, because if an object has all the fields of another one, it's exactly like inheritance. So here I have an album, simplified album object, which depends on album based. And it does not depend in OpenAPI world, but words. But it takes all the same fields, so technically it's almost like an interface. And in GraphQL, you would do it like this, so you use this implements keyword. And the same for unions. GraphQL has unions, and this maps really well to one-off. I'm not mentioning any of here, because that doesn't map really well to GraphQL. If you use any of, like it generates a lot of types, because we have to make all the combinations for all the different possible values. So looks like we're good. We took our initial REST OpenAPI schema, and we have a matching GraphQL schema, completely type safe, with the description. All good. But if you're doing GraphQL, like, there's something that feels a bit weird there, is that in GraphQL, really, and it's in the name, it's a query language. And so when you have something like this, at the end of the day, like, the name of my object still has playlist in there. Like, I don't want a playlist track. I want just a track. And in GraphQL, I can do something like this. I can get a playlist. I can get the owner of that playlist. I can get the playlist of that person. So for an example for me, I would have two playlists. What about Java Metal? If you don't know, Google helloworld.java in Spotify. It's very good. You won't regret it. and another one about Belgium Classics. And so if I do that forever, like if I use the same object everywhere, like I have a playlist referencing a user, but that user has a playlist, and so my backend will go in an endless loop, because it's going to recurse forever. So the only way to break this is to make two objects, so we would have simple user and a regular user. Same thing, because REST is about resources, it returns big JSONs, and sometimes you don't want all the JSON data, like sometimes you just in a screen that is very small. So you end up with a lot of different variants for the same object. So you have a track object, a simplified track object, linked track object, playlist track object. And this is real data from the Spotify API. And in GraphQL world, this feels a bit weird because really what we want is we want just one object. And this is where it becomes a bit complicated because the only way you can do this is by manually looking at your OpenAPI schema and merge the types that go together. So here, for an example, I call them entity because they all share the same ID. And from an ID, I can get all the information and all the fields for this object. So I can iterate the small objects. Interestingly, playlist track object is not a track because it can also contain podcast. And so this is a lot of manual work and going into the schema that cannot really be automated. Like you really have to augment your schema. So maybe with something like overlays, we could do something. But right now it's very very manual. Sorry. So this is the moral of this story. Going from OpenAPI to GraphQL is a bit like this triangle here. Like when I started this effort 2 months ago, I was like, sure, it's a schema. It's all machine processable, so I can take one and convert it to another one automatically. But it's not 100% automatic. Like you have some manual fine-tuning to do. It's not all dark, though. If you are an OpenAPI author here and you want to make your GraphQL people happy and maybe also your CodeGen people happy, because everything I said, like GraphQL is a type system, but every language has its type system and interfaces like enums, unions, all of that. This is something that you will find in a lot of languages like Kotlin, Swift, TypeScript. And because OpenAPI is so flexible, sometimes it makes it hard to generate code from it. But if you follow a few guidelines, like using operation IDs, like to be able to give names to your objects, use components also to share code, share properties, make sure to document nullability required and use all of one-off, it makes it a lot easier to bridge the APIs and to generate code automatically. On the do not use part, I talked about any of non-string enums. I mean, some language might support it. It just happens that Kotlin doesn't. So there are some versions of non-string enums, I think integers in the Spotify API that, we cannot support. And nested one-off because it blows up, like it explodes the number of types you have to generate. Wrap up mandatory slides. Both GraphQL and OpenAPI are very good, strongly typed ways to describe your API. There is one big fundamental difference, which is one is also a query language in addition to being a schema definition language. There are a few philosophical differences when it comes to versioning and evolution and how you manage your endpoints. But the type systems are really similar, and you can map from one to the other. At the end of the day, I would say, if I had to wrap it up, that GraphQL is more concise and expressive, and OpenAPI is more flexible. That's it for me. And then one last thing is that GraphQL Conf is happening in Europe this year for many years. I don't know when was the last time it was in Europe. So you can buy tickets. You can also talk to Benji at the back over there if you're interested in being involved. It's very cool, and I'm very much looking forward to meet you there. So thank you very much.